time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Yes, here we go on a Friday. Mitch out today, Pauly Howard, Matt Humans. We have you covered today. We have Nigel Seeley on soccer in 45 minutes, Ron Flatter on horse racing, Dennis Bernstein on hockey, Keith Smith on the NBA, Jeff Davis at Caesars on grading these futures, and his thoughts on the playoff format with the NHL. And we'll also talk to Matthew Holt regarding the UFC. We got a couple plays before we get out of here. Prop culture. The lists are still alive and well. Great to have Matt in. We'll get the top 12 common man restaurants. He has a top 10 gambling movie list that's similar to ours, but it's a good list as well. I still can't believe Brady kept Casino off his list. I mean, that is absolute lunacy at Point Spread Weekly. So a lot to get to coming up in a jam-packed show, especially with everything right off the top, Matt. And I will start with good news. And it just, it's a great job by William Hill here in Nevada. And I know they're not the only ones to do this, but this is refreshing that the great customer service. They had the press release after I tweeted it late last night. I got lucky. I happened to email someone at William Hill about, hey, have you heard from the NHL? And they had just decided what they wanted to do. With this week's announcement from the league that their regular season has been officially ended as they move directly into the modified 2014 playoff, obviously all regular season win total wagers are voided. But for division futures, all the division leaders, Bruins, Capitals, Knights, Blues, have been graded as winners. It gets better. Wagers on teams that were in second in their respective divisions, Lightning, Flyers, Avalanche, Oilers, have been refunded. If you wagered on Ovechkin and Pasternak to lead in goal scoring, those also are graded as winners. The following future markets remain action and are back up: Stanley Cup and Conference Championship. Bravo, William Hill, Nick Bogdanovich, Joe Asher. And as I talked, as I got one quote from Nick Bogdanovich last night, Matt, I said, great move, good PR. He said, well, listen, three of these four divisions were this close. Remember, the Knights only had a three-point lead over the Oilers. The Blues only had a two-point lead over the Avalanche. And Colorado had a game in hand. And the Capitals had a one-point lead over the Flyers. Some places on the East Coast have done this as well. That's a great job by William Hill to do that last night.
Yeah, certainly to pay out the division winners and then to refund, like you said, the second-place teams in those with several close races. I thought it was the proper gesture, actually, by William Hill. Well done by Nick Bogdanovich and that crew over there. You'd like to see stuff like that happen more often. We've seen it a lot on the East Coast with the new books, but it's good to see it happen here in Nevada, and I think bettors appreciate that and remember those sort of things. There's still a lot of confusion out there with how some of these NHL futures are going to be graded, Paul. Because for books that some books didn't list, 82 games must be required for action. I was talking with a book director yesterday about some of the golf props for the upcoming season and some different questions. There's definitely some the gray area with a lot of these props and how they're going to be graded. Do we know yet? Is the NHL going to call it a 2014 playoff, or is it going to be a qualifying round with 16 teams in the playoff? Because Jeff Davis is on with us, and that's obviously going to matter for the yes/no playoff props.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's going to be the qualifying round, and that's why they have to change their mind that it's still going to be the 16 team, and the first best of five will be qualifying. The other thing, and I asked Nick late last night, I said, "Have you heard from the NHL about why are they going to? What are they saying?" He didn't get back to me. I know I got one tweet this morning that Caesars was paying Golden Knight division winners as well. The other thing is, and I think this is going to get tricky, if you bet with Vinny the Chin or Tony Soprano, if you catch my drift, I think they have you over a barrel. So they might say, yeah, we allow you to bet on credit. We're going to just refund everything, and there's no rules, no stipulation, and they'll probably just do what they want. If you were going to benefit, they'll probably grade it as a refund. If you were going to lose, they'll probably count it. I mean, who knows how your local bookies. I mean, that's probably right. How they're going to do it, actually. But Bet365 and other books on the East Coast also did the same thing to what William Hill was doing. So that's fantastic news. Great job. And I'm happy to see that and the press release from late last night. Welcome in. Follow the money. Pauly Howard, Matt Humans on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch out today. We're talking about the news that William Hill graded division winners, the teams that had the lead in hockey, division winners are graded. You cashed, and if you had the runner-up, those are refunds as well. So that's great news out of the NHL and Jeff Davis later in the show. We haven't talked to you in a day or two, and a lot has happened. And there was a good podcast yesterday with Brian Windhorst. Now we have a Kevin O'Connor tweet, and I want to see where Matt's at with all this stuff. Because we got, I mean, the NHL has a plan, and Brian Windhorst in a actually said in his podcast yesterday, well, it's obvious the NBA is making it up as they go, which is frustrating to us. I mean, I respect Adam Silver, but he actually said that, and he's right, though. They need to have a plan here. But sources, on yesterday's call with NBA GMs, Adam Silver revealed the results of the survey. 75% voted for a play-in tournament for the final play-in playoff seeds. 25% voted for a World Cup-style group stage, which has some support. To me, the best way to do it is 1 through 16. But the other thing, Matt, and it was said by Jackie McMullen, I mean, it appears to me they want to do everything they can to get Zion Williamson on television, too.
Yeah, and that's kind of a pathetic ploy by the NBA at this point. I mean, it's your mission should be to complete the playoffs as efficiently as possible, keep everybody out of harm's way, and, you know, make it an event that's good for the players and good for the league. Let's look at this NBA playoff seeds 1 through 16 based on the current standings. And this is if you group all the teams into the same bracket and don't split it up east-west. And here's where the problem is with this, Paul. If you do it this way, the Lakers are the number 2 seed. Look at the Lakers' half of the bracket. Now look over at the other half of the bracket with the Bucks, who would have to go through the Celtics and the Clippers to get to the finals. Is that fair to the Bucks, the number 1 seed, to have to potentially play the Clippers in their semifinal and then have to go through the Lakers in the final? And to me, that's a problem with this 1 through 16 format and why I think it should stick to the east-west traditional brackets like we've had in the past. I don't think it's fair at all to the Bucks to do this 1 through 16 thing with all the teams in the same pool.
Wow. Okay, I'm surprised. See, I like this a lot better, and I know the East has been lousy for 20 years, but I like this better than the group stage thing where you would put these guys into 5 tiers. Especially if you're going to go.
That's total nonsense.
You're going to get good teams that are knocked out,
right?
If that happens. So that'd be a big mistake, but here's a big takeaway, and we're not splitting the atom here. Something is going to happen. So the I told you so crowd is going to be lined up and ready to go. A key player could get the virus and miss 2 weeks. A key player could get injured when they come back. There could be a huge upset when they come back. I mean, all this stuff's going to happen, and it's likely it's decided by does a team stay healthy? Does the whole team, are there any problems with the safety protocols? Everything okay? And do they obey those? Something strange or something unique will happen during the course of 2 months while they're trying to finish this season.
Of course.
So the I told you so crowd will be out and ready to go.
But, you know, strange things have happened in the playoffs in the past. Think about the Golden State Warriors injuries during the playoffs or the Cavs injuries. You know, you've had star players taken out in the postseason before, and you don't have asterisks next to those teams who won the championship. This one's going to be a little bit different, especially if a lot of crazy stuff happens and you get players sick and star so many, you know, more than, let's say, multiple star players sidelined. Who knows what's going to happen? But I just think the NBA is making a mistake here. Like I said the other day, too many cooks in the kitchen, too many voices in the room. Adam Silver needs to step up and take charge and say, this is going to be our format. Gary Bettman basically has done that with the NHL, and the NHL actually has a definitive plan. And they're going to move ahead, and now they know what they're going to do. The NBA has no idea right now. They've got 20 different plans out there, and that's the problem. It's the NBA has, a perception right now of complete chaos, and I'm disappointed in Adam Silver. Like I said, he doesn't have to be Dana White, right? He doesn't have to be the type A personality who says, to hell with it, this is the way it's going to be done, I'm going to do it this way. But he doesn't have to be a scared cat on the other end of the spectrum either. Maybe something in the middle. And I just want Adam Silver to show a little bit more authority at this point.
Very disappointed in him. I mean, this has been, you had two and a half months to think of all these plans and come out and unveil this and be ready to go. And now we're not even going to have an announcement today. And then he also, what they did the survey, he realizes that GMs are going to say what's best for their organization.
Sure, sure.
And that's how they're going to vote, too. Brian Windhorst also echoed the sentiments of Mark Stein that he doesn't think all 30 teams will come back. He doesn't think they'll go right into the playoffs with 16 teams. You think there'll be more than 16, that you might see 20 to 24 in that range. And you might have like a play-in round with these teams that are close in the Western Conference. But that, again, I mean, the East, who wants to see the Wizards or the Bulls as they're so far back? But in the West, they're four back in the loss column, like Portland and New Orleans and some of these other clubs. So Jackie McMullen said she's hearing that to get to that 70 or 72 games is not that big of a deal. But then you have guys like Mark Cuban who are adamant that they get to 72 games in. So, to me, it'd be an absolute fiasco, just a fiasco, to call all 30 teams back and to have and get, like, the Warriors and the Cavs and all these other teams and say, okay, let's get 5-6 more games in, guys, here in Orlando.
You know, if you want to make it really interesting, I've thought this for a while, instead of the draft lottery, take all the teams, I think we talked about this in the past, take all the teams that are not going to be in the playoffs and put them in a tournament. And the winner of the tournament gets the top pick in the draft, right? And that's the way you get teams to go all out and play for something that means something. So you got the 14 teams not in the playoffs. You put them in a bracket, and they play for the draft order. The team that wins the tournament gets the top pick in the draft. That way you ensure the best players get on the floor. You have games that mean something. It actually would be a decent product to put on TV. Then you have a separate tournament with your 16 playoff teams, and you can run these in different spots. That's just a different idea that I actually think makes sense, but I haven't really heard that talked about much at all. And I just go back to that bracket we're looking at there, Paul, with all 16 teams in the same pool. I understand why some people like this, but if you look at this, aren't you basically just advancing the Lakers to the finals and putting the Bucks make the Bucks run through the grinder here? Look at this. That is a great break for the Lakers if that's the way that's going to be played.
And that 8-9 matchup became more difficult. The Thunder were one of the hottest teams in the league before the shutdown, and the Heat made a couple trades. And they had a phenomenal home record, which I guess means nothing now. But that would be a tough matchup, and certainly the Lakers they have a better matchup if they get the winner of the Jazz and the Rockets. The big news yesterday when we got off the air, as Nigel said, we're going to have soccer every day until July 12th, through July 12th. This is awesome what they're doing. The Premier League is set to return June 17th. Italian League is set to return June 20th. The Premier League Project Restart was given the green light by the shareholders yesterday. Four teams have 10 matches remaining. And so to bring them in line with the rest of the league, Man City will play Arsenal and Aston Villa will play Sheffield United when they come back. The remaining 90 games will then begin Friday, June 19th, with every match shown live on television. No two games played at the same time across a weekend, and all matches televised in the UK. The league is hoping to be finished to allow the FA Cup final to take place on August 1st. How about this tweet of the TV schedule, or the schedule period, rather, about how they're going to do this with Elliot Hackney, as he's been all over us with what the schedule would be. How they're going to do it. It's just going to be wall-to-wall soccer with the Premier League. Look at this. Newly confirmed televised schedule. Monday, 8 o'clock. Tuesday, 6 and 8. Wednesday, 6 and 8. Thursday, 6 and 8. Friday night, 8. Saturday, 4 games. Sunday, 4 games. Football every single day. As they said, it was going to be a made-for-TV event. Excellent work by the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the way you want the schedule to set up. A lot of times we complain about the NFL having 8 games on at the same time on a Sunday. The English Premier League's obviously sat down and mapped this out and come up with a really competent plan here that I like a lot. And I think it's pretty obvious at this point. All these leagues can go forward and they can stage these games without fans. You don't need spectators. Let's go ahead and plan how these seasons are going to play out without spectators, and then down the road, if we think we can work fans into the games by football season, so be it. But right now, these are all going to be made-for-TV events, Paul, and the EPL did it perfectly here, I think, with its setup.
That is great news for people who had future tickets on Liverpool as well, which would have been one of the all-time bad beats if they couldn't finish the season, as they have a 25-point lead. A total of 100 days will have passed by the time matches resume behind closed doors. They tested 2,700 people and you had 12 positive cases after three rounds of testing. So that's the news with the Premier League. Testing capacity will be increased this week from 50 to 60 per club, with anyone testing positive asked to self-isolate for 7 days. And then you also had the news with the Italian league as well. And we'll get picks from Nigel in the Bundesliga and his thoughts on this in about half an hour. Quickly here, because we're so loaded today on the program. I'll give you, again, officially, I'll give you one Bundesliga pick, but also the guys put together an excellent graphic on this as well. Matt, what if I told you there's a Bundesliga team that's played 11 of 12 overs and they continue to give up a ton of goals, and that's Frankfurt, that they put up a 2.5 at DraftKings and other spots. Oh. Frankfurt opened 2.5 minus 150 on Saturday against Wolfsburg, and they've conceded 19 goals in their last six games. Three straight over since they came back. The Bundesliga came back. They've allowed 3, 5, and 3 goals. Their last game, the total was bet from 3 down to 2.5. It was a 3-3 final, and they put up a 2.5 as well. Here, look at this. Look what Kelly put over. I love the graphic. Ball's all over it. Their last 10 results, 3-3, 5-2, 3-1. Look what the opponent gets, 3-4. See, the opponent's getting the total themselves, Matt. 2-2. 2-1, 4-1, 4-0. Look at these scores. 5-0. They've played 10 straight overs and 11 of 12 to the over, and they put up a 2.5 on Saturday. Frankfurt, Wolfsburg over on Saturday morning.
You know, what if I told you, Paul, I've actually watched some of these games. I don't sure. watch a lot of soccer, but I have been watching some of these. I've noticed the higher scoring trends. And like you pointed out this week, what was it earlier, 22 games, only 3 wins by the home teams.
Yep.
I understand the higher scoring trend, especially with a team like this, but I'm still having a hard time explaining why the home teams are so bad. I thought the home teams would be a little bit worse, but is this something we're going to see in the NFL and college football as well, you think? Why do you think the home disadvantage is so so obvious so far in the Bundesliga?
I you know what? It's a great question, but maybe it's just because they're rabid fan bases and they're so into it that they don't have that extra shot in the arm and adrenaline from them.
They come out flat.
I mean, you're right, man. This is a whole league. It's also been surprising that teams at the bottom of the standings, the table, are playing well and actually winning matches. So I know with the three-way in there, you've had some draws too, but you're right. Not only was it at 1.3 out of 22, one of the winners was an $8 favorite. You can't count Bayern Munich. They're the best club there. They were an $8 favorite. Of course they're going to win. Will it carry over to other sports? I don't know, but it's not. I don't think we're going to see a home field advantage if you're not going to play with fans. I think there's something to that shot in the arm and getting that the crowd noise, whatever it may be. And getting riled up and digging down deep and being able to find something, any cliche you want, when it's a big play or a big sequence. I don't know.
That's going to be something to watch in these other soccer leagues as well. I was thinking in football, you know, the traditional, let's say it's not this of every team, obviously, but the 3-point home field advantage might be 1.5. That's what I was thinking initially without fans. But I want to keep an eye on this in soccer and see if in the other leagues we have the same type of trend. What do you think about the NFL and the onside kick proposal being tabled?
Disappointed. Yeah. Very disappointed. I liked it. And apparently the feedback they received was they were concerned if there was a big play that they could be at midfield already or close to midfield. And then they were also concerned about opening up the door for controversy. What if there's a PI, a defensive holding, whatever, and that gives you a first down on 4th and 15? I thought it was a further discussion needed, as Pelissaro tweeted. I would have passed it. And again, the onside kick, which is total luck and not skill, has become a non-event and a non-play, which you see how low as Mike Florio tweeted, the last 2 years when a team needed an onside kick, they were like 0-145 to win the game. Nobody came back that was down late. They needed an onside kick. And would get the onside kick and go on to score and win the game. It didn't happen in 2 years, so I think it's a way to make things more interesting. It's the odds were higher than I thought. The percentage, I know it's a small sample, I'm surprised the NFL didn't pass this. I would have liked to see them stick with the go with the 4th and 15.
Yeah, a little bit surprised too, but you have so many old school thinkers in the NFL that I'm not stunned by it. The onside kick has turned into less than a 10% success rate, and 4th and 15 plays are going to be about a 20% success rate. And you're going to have guys saying, well, it's too easy to pick up that 4th and 15. You got defensive penalties, whatever. You know, my problem with any NFL and the rules and the way it's officiated, you have a lot of situations like that. Let's look at the Rams-Saints game in the NFC Championship. You had a pass interference that wasn't called, and it sent the wrong team to the Super Bowl. So what's the big deal about this onside kick proposal possibly being too easy? I'm like you. I was hoping it would be pushed through. I think it makes late game situations more entertaining, and it would have been a positive thing. But hopefully, you know, a year from now, this thing gets passed.
Yep, I agree 100%. 100%. Prop culture in 10 minutes. Phil Mickelson wants this to happen every year. We'll get to that. And great response all week. I can't thank you enough with the gambling movies and Matt's fast food list. We got Matt's top 12 common man restaurants and his gambling movie list coming up in 45 minutes. Up next, win-lose. And the lose category is incredible on Follow the Money, Visa. Now's the time to become a VSiN Plus subscriber. It's free. You won't have to decide what you want to do. Pay or cancel until at least one of the major sports returns. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. VSiN.com. And I'll tell you, the more probably hockey in August and probably the NBA in August, too. I'm telling you, that poll question we ran, I don't think late July is going to happen. I think we're looking at August now for the NBA and the NHL. Time for win-lose.
Rough night?
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night? How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Here we go. Two great dog videos to get into it at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. I will let the owner of these two dogs lead the way here with the audio up. This is great.
Your brother. Say you're sorry. Are you sorry?
Give him the hug. Oh, that's awesome. Very good.
Okay, I think he forgives you.
Apparently there was a quarrel. There were some problems there between the two dogs. Give your brother a hug. Walks right over. Say you're sorry.
I would have been really impressed if the dog actually said he was sorry.
Very good. Yep. Okay. Gives him the hug and then rests his chin on top of his head. That is excellent. Now this one, I was wondering what this dog's plan of attack was going to be. Okay. Looking. Then he goes right in for the sprinkler and wants a piece of that water. He goes right. Well done, sir, on TikTok. That'll be up later. Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Matt, you take it away. Tough one for Wes Reynolds here. The kid can't catch a break.
Oh, man.
How about tweet number 158? But hey, good Thursday to you, Wes.
Yeah, this from Wes Reynolds 1. One of the weathercasters wished me, the viewer, a happy Thursday. Wes says, I'm having a colonoscopy today, and I'm starving from doing this liquid diet, and I'm not ready for 109 degrees in May. It's not a happy Thursday. I appreciate the sentiment, though. How about throwing out there on Twitter that you're having a colonoscopy? That's lose some for Wes Reynolds. We got a couple of.
yes, it is.
You have not had the you have not had the colonoscopy, have you, Paul?
Oh no.
Okay, I haven't either. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't tell anybody about it.
I wouldn't. I certainly would not tweet about it if I were having.
Yes.
Okay. Here's win some. Look at this rattlesnake. All right, my dad was hiking out of Red Rock, and he almost stepped on this thing, Paul. It was tongue out, it was rattling, and the guy my dad was hiking with grabbed him from behind right before he stepped on the rattlesnake. So that's winsome. He survived not getting bitten by the rattlesnake there.
Look at that thing.
Almost stepped on it.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
And the last one, do we have the photo of Michael Jordan? Somebody sent this to me at the end of episode 6 of The Last Dance, Paul. Going to throw this up here. Can you spot me in the photo, Paul? Do you see me in there? This is at the very end.
Yes, up on the right.
Up on the far right corner?
Far right corner.
Yeah.
With the suit on.
There you go.
Look at that. Was that every day? Is that what it looked like?
You know what? A lot of days when Jordan talked, there were more people than that. I mean, it was a mob scene pretty much every day. But, yeah, that was normal right there, what you see. I think that's winsome, Paul. I was in the Last Dance documentary, and I thought I kind of felt like my performance there stole the show at the end of episode 6, didn't you?
Yes, okay. I agree. Very good. Good job. Win-lose. What a scene that was. How the hell could you get to him? Like, imagine if it was the conference finals or the NBA finals and you went, how would you get a quote from, you had to write it down. I mean, you couldn't get a sound bite. You're not close enough.
Well, luckily I had long arms, you know, and I could reach out from all the way in the back and get the tape recorder right up to Jordan's face. But no, it was tough, man. It was always tough, and you very rarely got to talk to Jordan in a small group of fewer than 5 people. But that
in a tough week for Jordan. Sam Smith said it's not the food poisoning story as it was made out to be
in
Utah. And he also was caught on tape saying, I don't want Isaiah on the team.
Yeah,
the dream
was.
Team. They got Jack McCallum's got the audio to back it up. Jeez, prop culture up next. Good mix. Well, we have a baseball season. Dak Prescott props, you won't believe. And Phil wants this to happen every year. Who will they put him with? Who are the other golfers that could play with Phil and Tiger? We got some good numbers, and we'll share globally coming up on VSiN. Follow the money. Paulie Howard, Matt Youmans, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nigel Seeley in 10 minutes with his soccer plays. FTM at VSiN.com. You can tweet at us or email FTM at VSiN.com. Larry and watching on Nesson had a bet on the Flyers to win the division 12-1. Yesterday graded as a refund. 2 hours later, graded as a loser. They changed it.
Ooh.
Tough. I mean, remember, they had a 9-game winning streak going into that final game before the shutdown at home against the Bruins. If they win that, they have the division lead. And but they lost 2-0, and they finished 1 point behind the Capitals. And there were some juicy prices on the Flyers out there. And still, I still haven't heard anything from the NHL, at least as far as division winners. All right, this is use oddball props, a mix of a lot of different things. It's time for prop culture.
When the sports book isn't enough,
we're competitive. The word bet sets off that competitive nature.
Mitch and Paul go off the board for prop culture.
I said bet money. Harry said bet. Wayne bet. Spank bet. Joey bet. 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 Mother bet. 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 Bet.
Prop culture.
The ratings for Tiger Phil match part 2. Phil wants to do it every year. Well, the match 3, over under 5 million viewers next time out. I will go under. Who will partner with Phil Mickelson? Global odds, Steph Curry, the favorite, Tom Brady again, Steve Young, Drew Brees, Aaron Judge, Reggie Bush, and Donald Trump, 250-1. Matt, I have a short list. I mean, I know if they want to do this every year, and who are some guys? Now, definitely Michael Jordan's number one. I mean, Michael Jordan involved in this any way, if he can get in with, I don't care who you pair him with, you got to get Michael Jordan. Curry wouldn't be bad. But to me, there's not a lot of guys on this list where people are like, oh, I have to tune in to watch that now after the success they had with Manning and Brady. Dude, what do you think?
Well, I agree with you, obviously. And I would lean under the 5 million viewers as well. This time, this was so popular because you do have big names, obviously, and anything that Tiger's in is going to be a draw. But people were just starving for live sports, Paul. We had just, for any sort of televised event, we couldn't wait to see it. That's going to be different a year from now. You know, I don't think this type of thing really works next year unless you do it right after the NBA Finals, kind of that dead period in late June, you know, after the end of the Finals, before the draft. You do have sort of a dead period there where you could do it. Otherwise, the sports calendar is going to be jam-packed with events, and people aren't going to care as much about a golf match like this. The players I would be most interested in seeing and I think would draw the biggest ratings, obviously Michael Jordan, top of the list. Stephen Curry's right there behind him. Tony Romo, I think, would be a
draw.
That's
a good one.
You know,
yeah, I agree.
It's going to be MJ, Curry, and Romo. And then beyond that, I don't really want to see any of these guys in a televised golf match. I don't want to see Brady and Manning again necessarily. I think it's not going to happen, but something that would be fascinating to a lot of people would be Barack Obama on one team and Donald Trump on the other.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to see that, though.
Yeah. Jordan, the favorite to partner with Tiger. Then you got Romo, right. Peyton Manning, Jerry Rice.
Now, that would be big. That would be big. If you get Tiger and MJ on the same team, let's say against Mickelson and Curry, that would be pretty good, man. Yeah.
Mickelson and Billy Walters against Jordan and Tiger Woods. Or Mickelson and Jordan against Billy Walters and Tiger Woods. That'd be phenomenal. Winner of the match three, Team Tiger, minus 150. How about all these Dak Prescott props that the book put up globally? I mean, these are about the contract, about how much he'll make. Look at the Dak. How much will Dak's next contract be? Over $35 million a year, minus 135. And then you have MVP odds, Offensive Player of the Year, and will he have the franchise tag designation for game one of the regular season? Yes, plus 325. I think they have until the middle of July to work this out. And then you have all the other props there. Those are courtesy of FanDuel has put some of those up as well. I'm going to go over $35 million. I'm going to go over that, and that is going to be absolute lunacy that guy's going to get that much money, and he's won one playoff game, which hold on to your hats in 2022 when Mahomes, Jackson, and Watson are all up for new deals.
Oh, especially Patrick Mahomes. He can just write a blank. Yeah, just hand that guy a blank check. He's going to set. He'll probably get $50 million a year, Patrick Mahomes from the Chiefs. Dak's deal is probably going to be more than $35 million on average. You know, if I were Jerry Jones, I would not do that. But I think Jerry is going to pay Dak above current market value. And I would bet on over 35 and a half. And I think that's our $35 million. That's why it's minus 135. Jerry's got a history of paying his stars. And he's going to pay Dak eventually. The one thing that jumps out to me, there are a couple of them here. Odds to be AP Offensive Player of the Year, 41 to 1.
Oh, 41. I read that wrong. Okay, sorry. Yep, I read that wrong. Yep.
That's too high. Dak threw for 4,900 yards and 30 touchdowns last year. The Cowboys' offense is just a big play waiting to happen, and it was the number one for most of last season, basically the number one offense in the NFL. Didn't look like it in the game at New England against the Patriots when the weather was poor. But the Cowboys were explosive offensively. You got a guy that threw for 30 TDs and almost 5,000 yards. He's 41-1 to be Offensive Player of the Year. I think that number's too high. That might be worth a bet. And regular season passing yards, 4,319. I just said he threw for 4,900 last season. But, again, is this based on how many games – What do the rules say? Is it based on a 16-game regular season? You got to be careful about betting these because we don't know if these guys are going to play 16 games. We're just talking about some of these props with the NHL, you know, and NBA. And I know some guys who bet some goal-scoring props, Paul, in hockey, and they bet them all under. And they cashed them all, essentially cashed, I think, like 80% of them, because the season was shortened and all the players, you know, point totals essentially stayed under because the season was shorter. That's one thing I think you probably have to keep in mind before you fire on too many of these NFL overs. But
did you watch the NASCAR last night? Do you have any thoughts on?
I did watch. So I watched the first, I would say, third of the race, and then the last third of the race. And I kind of fell asleep in the middle third. But Chase Elliott's been a tough luck loser. Ed Sammons at the Westgate said recently he liked Elliott in these races at Darlington. That's his second win of the week. Chase Elliott about 5-1 or 6-1. I think we can talk a little bit more about some of the ridiculous odds that were out there on the East Coast last night.
We will get to that. You're right. Good point there. Nigel Seeley with some soccer picks. Bundesliga up next and the Premier League back. And Serie A coming back as well. We'll talk to Nigel and we'll get back to the list, baby. Boy, you guys love Let It Ride. The emails and tweets on the support for Let It Ride. It's good, but it's not my top 10. We'll get Matt's top 10 list in 15 minutes, along with the top 12 common man restaurants on Follow the Money. Back at it, Paulie Howard, Matt Humans, Mitch out today. Follow the Money on VSiN. We have every sport covered today. Ton of great guests, and we kick it off with Nigel Seeley, soccer and tennis expert at Seeley_Nigel on Twitter. Yes, well, last week, and we're going out to London. There you go. Yeah, let's go out to England for a great job, guys, with the graphics here with Nigel. We had the birds on your last appearance. You outside? You inside? What's the setup, mate?
I'm inside at the moment. I'm having my garden actually done. I was digging the garden out. I've just come straight from the garden. I'm covered in dirt and muck and all my shorts. So I'm digging the garden. So I thought I'd have to come in. I had a quick shower. I would say that I combed my hair, but there's nothing to comb. So I'd be lying if I said that. So, I've just come in to see you guys and talk about the Bundesliga. How are we all right?
All right, great. Well, a lot better now after the news yesterday. What are your thoughts that we get the Premier League back to 17th and the Italian League back to 20th?
Well, my first thought was, oh, shucks, because I've got to do some work. I was quite enjoying the time off. No, really, I mean, it's good news, obviously, for bookmakers and for bettors as well. I mean, it's good to get some live sport in it. But I watched a rugby game yesterday in Australia. And they reckon it was the most watched rugby game ever in the history of rugby league. And it was the most bet on rugby game because people have absolutely nothing to bet on. But I watched it, and do you know what? I can't have it without any fans. I'm a big cynic. I know we've got to have sport. I know we've got to have it. But I think as the season goes on and the games become less and less relevant, I think it's a tough watch when teams aren't really going through the motions anyway with fans. But, you know, with no fans yesterday, I mean... the empty stadiums. You're gonna. I'm not enjoying watching it. It's not. You know. I love my sport. I love all sports, but the fans are what make sport. And for me, I'm. You know. I know. I think it's a very difficult time, really, to judge a lot of value. I think fans make a big part in everything. And you know, I know it's coming back, but it's not going to be the same until we get back to full normality, probably, end next year, I suppose.
What's going to happen with the championship in League One? I think I read they're going to vote June 8th now.
I think the championship will happen because, as I said, I've stated to you on this show before, they don't really get their gate receipts are important to them, but TV revenue is more important than gate receipts. So I think the championship will play behind closed doors because I don't think a lot of the teams will really have that much of a financial effect on the close walls. But League One is a different ball game. I mean, there isn't hardly any TV revenue, and the clubs solely rely on those fans paying the money. And without that money coming in, a lot of clubs could really struggle to potentially could go out of business. So I think the League One is the big one. I would probably bet about 70% that it doesn't restart. But for the championship, I think it will restart because it's some big issues to be found. The place in the Premier League from the championship is the biggest, probably the biggest thing, biggest prize in world sport. So I think that's got to be looked at, and I think that will happen. So I think the championship will go back. And the championship is, if you look at the attendance figures for the championship, it's probably around about the third or fourth most viewing figures in Europe. So, you know, that's how big it is. You know, if you took the top flights out of Germany, Spain, Italy, after that, I think the championship will be the fifth most or fourth most watched match by audience participation anyway. So I think there's money in that. So I think the championship will come back, but League One, I doubt.
Okay, there's one match today, Bundesliga. Freiburg takes on Leverkusen. They were humiliated their last time out. All the issues again for the home teams. Freiburg at home in this one. If any thoughts on the match today, and do you have any leans this weekend in Bundesliga, please?
Two teams that have cost me some money since this lockdown. I mean, I've got six bets I've had since the lockdown, and three winners and three losers. And Freiburg, I've bet, and they've lost for me. And Leverkusen, I've bet, and they lost for me. So two teams that aren't on my Christmas list at the moment. Freiburg are so inconsistent. Really, really, really disappointed. I mean, if you asked me this match a week ago, I would have said Bayer Leverkusen were absolutely good things. But the performance in midweek against Wolfsburg was diabolical. You know, no one could have seen what was happening there. Conceded five goals. They're on a fantastic unbeaten stretch as well. And then they conceded five against the Wolfsburg side, who were beaten comfortably in their last game. So this game is something I wouldn't really bet on it. The general practice in Bundesliga games has been the goal line has been going high. Bayer Leverkusen do offer a huge goal threat. And you would expect some kind of bounce back from that performance in midweek. But two sides... I wouldn't want to get involved. Leverkusen pretty much have got, you know, they've got that a Champions League position to fight for. So that the momentum is going to be certainly on them. And Freiburg, sort of eighth or ninth place in the Bundesliga table, a sort of team that fall into that category that you can't really trust at this period of the season. Nothing to play for. So slightly towards Leverkusen. I would have probably gone for a minus one if that result last week didn't happen. And if I was going to have a lean, I would expect some kind of bounce back. But I think the best angle for this is goals. So maybe a couple of small plays on Leverkusen to win 3-1 at a decent price, and maybe 4-1 at a decent price, because I think Leverkusen will come back.
All right, the total's 3 in the match today. How can they put up a 2.5 in a Frankfurt match? 11 of the last 12 have gone over, and the run that they're on conceding, that the opponent's going over by themselves here again in Frankfurt matches.
Well, this was one of my big bets for the weekend. I'm having four bets on the European service I offer, and one of them was the over goals in this game. I was really surprised to see the line of 2.5 in this game. I thought it'd be a 3 match, or maybe 3.5. Really, I did. I think it was be that high. Frankfurt have got one game plan. That's attack, attack, attack. But they have no defence. And you know, their defence at the moment is about as much use as a chocolate fire guard. Useless. And so I expect goals in this game. Wolfsburg, like I said, last game they played, they scored 5 against the Bayer Leverkusen side. And Bayer Leverkusen play a very sort of aggressive counter-attacking style of football, which is similar to what Eintracht Frankfurt play. So they obviously like that, and that they like the fact that they can come onto them and they can hit them on the counter-attack. So I would expect goals in this. I mean, the last two games both these teams played in was 6 goals in each game, like a 3-3 draw for Eintracht and a 5-1 win for Wolfsburg. And then it's coming into that over 2.5 line. I would expect that line to drop. If you can get both teams to score in this game, I would suggest, if your bookmaker offers that, maybe have both teams to score game. Maybe both teams to score and over 2.5. But I do fancy goals in this. And I think out of all the goal lines, when we've seen how high the Bundesliga goal rate has been since returning from the lockdown, this one to be a 2.5 goal does look a little bit of a gift. But sometimes in betting, especially from my experience, when some things look too good to be true, sometimes they don't go your favour. It's the ones you don't expect to win that do win. And, you know, if 99 people all expect overs, sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And that's my only... I always worry when everybody expects something to happen. And this is, you know, if you ask 100 people, 99 would say overs in this game. But the bookies obviously see it somewhat differently. But I would fancy goals, yeah.
How about one side you like? on this weekend?
Hertha Berlin. I think they've been fantastic since the return of the lockdown up in Augsburg, scoring loads of goals, lots of goals in it. And I think, you know, if you've got a team that scores goals, there's a good goal threat. I would fancy them. And I think Leipzig have been, again, another team scoring goals. They won for us last week on the road 5-0. I fancy them to win away from home. They're going to be very short in the betting. They're going to be overwhelming favourites. But I think maybe on the handicap, get with them as well. So that would be my sort of plays. Different opinion. But like, I'm still keeping the stakes very, very small, Paulie. Just have an interest plays because, you know, it's life, it's football, Jim, but not as we know it. It's not for me. I think it's really tread careful. And I think coming into the season stretch we are now in soccer, the last six or seven games, momentum for football teams is very, very hard. Very, very hard for teams with nothing to play for to get momentum. And for them to play with no fans, in particularly home games, I think momentum is going to be even harder. So I'm just treading really cautious towards the end of the season and just start again at next season. But four plays I have this weekend, and hopefully we'll get back on winning ways.
All right. You're going to be busy in June and July with all these leagues coming back. Thanks for a few minutes. Good luck this weekend.
I've cancelled the holiday to Cyprus, which I was going on, and I'll be working, surely talking to you most days, which the wife is delighted about.
All right. Hope so. Okay. Thanks, Nigel.
Take care.
All right. Back to the garden. At Sealy_Nigel on Twitter. Look at this, Matt. Bayern Munich Saturday plays Dusseldorf. Dusseldorf is as high as 36-1 to win.
Wow,
that's got to be the biggest. If they shot, they're not going to win. But what you can email or tweet at us, the biggest upset you've seen in soccer history. I'm seeing
36-1.
36-1. Bayern Munich is -2,000. What's the draw? I've seen the draw as high as 15-1. The draw's 15-1. Look at that.
Basically, you're talking about, you compare it to like Oklahoma playing UTEP in a football game.
Yeah. Yeah. My God. Look at that. This is crazy.
I thought it was interesting what he said about, you know, betting with popular public opinion, and you don't want to do that because, you know, right now everybody expects high scoring games. You don't want to bet on what's expected. And, Paul, I feel like a lot of times that's the same way you have to approach NFL betting.
Yes, yes, I would agree with that. And the other thing, you wonder if when the Premier League, you asked it earlier, will we see the same thing in the Premier League and the Italian League when they come back?
Yeah, I mean,
with the issues with the home teams, I don't know. It's a good question, but
do you continue to bet against the home teams? Right, yeah. I see in the Bundesliga, the home teams are 5-12-10, and they've been outscored 49-35.
Oh, Jesus! Good information there on the back end. Right, very good. A fun segment coming up next. You've been phenomenal all week with your emails and tweets. Matt's top 10 gambling movie list and his top 12 common man restaurant list. VSiN, Follow the Money, the Sports Betting Network.